is Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up tonight, Conan is here. He's going to be talking about The Handmaid's Tale, which has apparently was originally a book. It's now a television series.
It's been a book for quite a while. 1985 was when it was first written. Been around for a while.
With you tonight, by the way, it is Ian.
All right,
and Conan.
So that's coming up. Plus, we got a ton of news to talk about here tonight. McDonald's is now completely leaving Russia after having shut down their stores.
I like how nobody put it yesterday. They're cursing them with good health.
Right.
And they're just going to keep their, well, the question is they going to pull out all of their millions of dollars of product that's there probably in refrigerators, freezers, in, you know, everything from, you know, McDonald's trays and bags to food, frozen mm-hmm. food and whatnot. And how fast is Russia just going to, what, just change the name of every single one of those buildings to their own trademark name?
They don't even have to. When is McDonald's going to sue them?
Good point.
If they don't, oh no, you're going to sue the Russian government in an American
court? In a Russian court?
Yeah. Come on, man. At a time when America is doing all of the everything they can to boycott Russia? Nah.
Yeah, so we can talk about a lot of stuff here tonight. Last night we spent a lot of time looking at this lunatic shooter in Buffalo's 180-page-long manifesto.
I've read more about that. I mean, I've read more of the manifesto, and mm-hmm. it's so sad, dude. It is so sad what 4chan, not what 4chan did to this guy, but what this guy did to himself because of what he was reading on 4chan. All he ever really had to do was back away and Google the stuff that he was reading on 4chan to mm-hmm. find out whether or not it was true. And he probably would not have become a psychopath. He probably would not have become a mass murderer.
But he said he was already a communist when he was 12 years old, and he just went a little bit more to the right.
I know a bunch of communists who aren't shooting and killing people.
Well, that doesn't mean that they wouldn't. Right? Like communists, look at the history of communism.
Sarah never went on a mass murder spree.
Sure, but she supports it.
There's a big difference between someone ideologically supporting that, like Sarah, and that they probably don't actually even actually support it, and someone who's actually willing to go out and murder.
No doubt. There is a big difference. But I mean, in the history of communism, the communist administrations have found the people who are willing to go out and murder people, and those people get plenty of jobs, plenty of work. There's plenty of murders.
Certainly, we have those
on.
Now. I mean, yeah. In the American system, we have soldiers, we have police, we have all of those things already. But the point was, like, he rails against the Jews because, of course, he does. He's a white supremacist, and that's what they do. But he quotes parts of the Talmud, or however it's pronounced. I don't know, because I've only ever seen it written. And
Talmud?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. And the verses, or however you refer to them, that he quotes, don't say what he believes they say. Mm. Right? He's like, this one says it's okay for, you know, Jews to rape 3-year-old Gentiles or whatever, and that's not at all what it says. In fact, it specifically says it's not okay. Mm. So, I mean, if he had just stepped away from 4chan, stopped believing what 4chan told
him.
Does
he cite 4chan in there?
He mentions 4chan a few times.
Okay.
And 8chan and, mm-hmm. you know, his Discord and Stormfront and these other, Daily Stormer, I think, was another one he mentioned. But all he ever had to do was, like, fact check the stuff that he was reading on 4chan.
Well, the information is there. You're certainly right about that. For people that are willing to actually look around, you can find alternative theories. You can find counter information to whatever it is that that you're looking at. Which is, you know, one of the things that always frustrates me about a lot of the conspiracy theorists out there is they don't ever even bother to type in the name of the conspiracy they're looking at. And you know, there are counter guides basically out there to take you through like a conspiracy movie and like, oh, this is what they're lying about here. This is what they're lying about here. I remember
debunking sites.
Yeah, debunking. That's the word I'm looking for. And then there's sites that debunk the debunking sites.
Oh, yeah. Because we know who funds the debunking sites.
Well, some of them.
It's the same guys who are your Facebook fact checkers.
Maybe.
But some of them are also just like nonsense, right? Like the moon isn't real one or the earth is flat one. I don't have to believe that George Soros is funding the debunking of the flat earth hypothesis, right? Because one way or another,
there's enough science nerds out there that are going to do that on their own.
That aligns with, you know, what I believe to be true and where I choose to place my trust. And maybe they're all, you know, evil pagan witches or whatever, and they're secretly perpetrating this hoax about how the world is really flat and it's surrounded by ice or whatever, but that doesn't seem very likely to me. And since it doesn't make much of a difference to my life one way or the other, I'm going to choose to believe the one that makes the most sense. And that's usually not any of these kooky conspiracy theorists.
So you're pointing out that there's some very radicalizing information out there on the internet. And the people that are in charge of governments, of course, would like that information to be completely eliminated. So only government, pro-government radicalizing information is out there because they want all the killers to do their work for them. And Governor Kathy Hochul, that's the woman who took over. She was the lieutenant governor prior to Cuomo being run out on a rail for sexual harassment like last year or whenever it was. She's back in the news now, BostonHerald.com with a report from the Tribune News Service, and she's calling the vile online manifesto attributed to the Buffalo shooter, citing it rather. Governor Hochul on Sunday urged social media companies to crack down on hate speech, calling the websites, quote, instruments of evil, unquote. She says, I'm calling on the CEOs of all the social media platforms to examine their policies and to be able to look me in the eye and tell me that everything is being done that they can to make sure this information is not spread. She told CNN's State of the Union, speaking a day after 18-year-old Peyton Gendron, who is white, killed 10 in an attack targeting black people in Buffalo, New York.
That's a really interesting question. They've gone after Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, and the U.S. government has, and they've done all sorts of hearings. They've never targeted 4chan, though. They never dragged in the owners of 4chan and were like, hey, you have to come attend this hearing about censoring people and not allowing this information to be released.
Can they find the owners of 4chan?
I'm pretty sure the owner of 4chan at least is publicly known.
I know the 8chan owners were outed at one point. I wonder about the 4chan. I don't know. I don't pay close attention to these things, but that you do bring up an interesting question. Presuming you can identify who this person is, you know, why are they not giving him that same level of attention?
Hiroyuki Nishimura owns 4chan.
There you go. Has anything been said about Twitch? Because that's where this was streamed to. And that'll be the next target that these lawmakers will want to go after so that they can control. You got to be real careful with when any of these events take place. Because this wasn't, by the way, this wasn't the only shooting that happened last weekend.
No, there were other shootings. A Taiwanese guy shot some people up.
But this is the one they're
attacking.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Sorry,
but this is the one they're using as their flag ship to go after.
Well, this is the racist one, so it's the easiest to use to galvanize people.
And a lot of people actually died, too. But I mean, but when you consider all of the elements, you got the Chans, government wants to control that like you wouldn't believe. Now you got Twitch that's becoming more and more popular and more used throughout the country.
Owned by Amazon, by the way. So whatever the government asks for, Twitch is going to do.
There's that.
There's no doubt about it. But that said, it's still relatively challenging to control something as ephemeral as a live stream. I mean, it's there, it's happening as you speak. So like, how do you identify what is going on a live stream without relying on users to flag it for you?
I don't think you can. I think users are the only way that they can do that. They can't. The people at Twitch, they don't have the staff to watch every single live stream.
No, it's not possible. There's millions of them.
Maybe there will be some kind of ID identification process that'll be implemented, where in order to be a Twitch streamer, you have to jump through all these government-regulated hoops in order to prove that you're a blue-check Twitch streamer.
Yeah, but that's not going to stop people from saying things, right, that are unpopular.
Exactly. The same way taking guns away from the people isn't going to prevent mass killings. People are going to find a way. Twitch crazies or crazy people using, you know, social media are still going to do what they do, but government's going to get involved anyways, and they're going to take more of our rights from us, take more of our freedom from us,
right,
in order to say that they're protecting us. They say that they're doing something, but in all reality, they're just making life more difficult.
Well, and that's the frustration here, is not because I agree with this killer. I think he's an awful person. He's an authoritarian, as he describes himself, an authoritarian leftist, basically. You can see that in his 180-page manifesto. But, you know, he should still have the freedom to say whatever it is that he wants to. That way his ideas can be countered. That
Correct.
Way his ideas can be talked about and rejected by better ideas being presented. But if we keep these ideas out of discussion, keep them oppressed, they will remain in places like the underground. And I don't think that's a good plan. We'll continue in moments. Yeah! It's Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us here and bring up whatever you want to discuss. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about, ultimately, freedom of speech here. And, of course, freedom of speech is not designed to protect popular speech. You don't need to protect that.
Nope.
It's designed to protect unpopular speech, the stuff that makes you feel uncomfortable, ugly,
icky,
yucky, scary, maybe even. The speech that people don't really want to hear, that's what needs to be protected. But that is what is, of course, under attack by these government goons like Governor Kathy Hochul, the New York top goon over there in their gang squad. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Conan.
Bitcoin.com, great place to go and learn about cryptocurrency. By the way, the shooter in Buffalo, he is anti-cryptocurrency. That is crystal clear in his 180-page rambling manifesto that we examined last night.
Dude, he has a section in there that's just memes.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
his manifesto. Like,
does he go into depth why he is he's not a fan? Because I've noticed this recently about a lot of very very strong left-leaning Marxists hate crypto for some reason. It's like, why? I don't even get it.
An invention of libertarians, essentially.
Because they say that they think the Jews control it or something, or just another oddball.
They hate libertarians, and cryptocurrency is steeped in libertarianism.
Yeah, but lots of capitalists. Is it because capitalists own? It's a capitalist method, means.
No, I think it's just because they oppose libertarianism for ideological reasons. So the preferred currency of libertarians is garbage to them.
Well, maybe that's it. And we'd have to get one of them on the air to clarify. And I don't think Sarah's going to qualify. But I think that what it could also be is they realize that they cannot control it. So like all central planners, they are against it from a philosophical perspective.
But see,
that
he's in favor of gold, and they can't control gold either.
He sees why fiat is a bad idea, but he addresses it here on page 56 of his 180 pages. He says, cryptocurrency is one way to escape fiat and is quite valuable in the way that one can trade online with it easily, but it's a bad idea to hold wealth for various reasons. He says, one, it doesn't have any value in real-world application and cannot be used in the real world as a resource. Well, that's straight up
so
just
he's,
wrong.
So this is an anti-property guy.
He's a leftist.
Yeah. So, I mean, that explains why they don't like crypto. But why would he like gold, though? Because that's something that holds value and you use to, well, not really.
He's against fiat. He sees the scam in the Federal Reserve. He talks about that in the paragraph prior to what I'm reading you right now. Number two reason he is against crypto, he says it's technology dependent and completely traceable, which means globo homo knows. Now, that's slang for government or something?
I don't know. I never found any explanation of what globo homo meant.
I've seen it on like 4chan, but I didn't take the time to go to Urban Dictionary and look it up.
I've never seen it prior to reading this guy's manifesto, so.
It's a combination of global and homosexual, used to sarcastically denote the predominant philosophy espoused by the Western economic elite, formerly known as neoliberalism. It combines ruthless capitalism by transitional corporations with a facade of socially liberal politics, so says Urban Dictionary.
So fascism that pretends to care.
Number three, he says it can be infinitely replicated without restrictions. There's an infinite amount of cryptocurrencies that can be made. Well, that's actually a feature, not a bug.
Yeah, and that's a garbage argument. Like, most of those aren't going to have any value. The idea here being that, you know, if I create Bitcoin Aria, it somehow detracts from the value of Bitcoin Core.
Not
which
at
would
all.
Be the, it would be the case with USD. You know, if I created 10 billion USD, it would detract from the value of all the other USD out
right
there. But that's exactly it. It's that Bitcoin Aria or whatever is not Bitcoin Core.
Yeah, you could probably sum up the top... if you go to coinmarketcap.com and you look, there's close to 20,000 cryptocurrencies, I think, that they're currently keeping an eye on that website.
And that doesn't include all of them by a long shot.
And I bet you, I haven't looked at this, but I bet you the bottom 19,000 of them probably in total aren't worth more than a few million dollars. There's just no value.
I don't believe it.
There's no value to them. You can spin up your own copy of Bitcoin tonight if you want to. If you have the technical know-how, you can take the Bitcoin code, you can copy it, and you can start your own miner, and you can go to town on AriaCoin or whatever. And that doesn't give AriaCoin any value.
Nope.
Only the market can do that.
And you don't even need to do that. You can just create a new Ethereum token.
That's even easier.
Yeah. That's a few clicks, and there you go. But that's not detracting from the value of Ethereum, and it's not detracting from the value of Ethereum tokens.
Nor is it adding to the value of Ethereum either.
No, it's just wasting Ethereum to make a coin that no one is ever going to use or care about.
It is, number four is next point. It is toxic to the environment through endless mining and overuse of graphic
cards.
That's
another one. Yeah, so are credit cards, idiots.
And all the banks.
And when you think of all of the credit card transactions, the millions of transactions that are taking place every day, how do you think that gets to the bank?
Well, even if he's right, that only applies to proof of work coins. And so far, there's been no fundamental flaw found with proof of stake that prevents it from being viable as a methodology. Mm. Ethereum is slowly moving to proof of stake. There are proof of stake coins out there like Blackcoin already that exist, and they're doing just fine. So we could easily move to proof of, if it was proven to be true that, yes, Bitcoin and proof of work is destroying the environment, okay, well, we still already have another solution ready to be rolled out that doesn't have that issue.
And one other thing when it comes to energy consumption, this is why the power plants, who are in peak hours, which they have more energy they can consume, they can use, they can't store it, what better thing to use it on except
Bitcoin mining.
Or any kind of crypto mining. So you...
And they say
otherwise, you lose that energy.
And they say it doesn't produce anything, and that's fundamentally true, and you prove that it isn't true. You use miners to heat part of your house.
That's another good heat. If you're in New England.
That is an actual product, a thing that is being produced by the mining of cryptocurrency that is real. the world runs on heat, right? Yeah. Producing heat's a big deal.
So what am I going to do this summer? Except move everything down to the basement. Turn them off.
Number five, this is a total throwaway reason, is absolutely worthless and only takes up space as a file on a drive. Well, we know that's obviously not true.
Multiple drives, thank you.
The current market is like $1.5 trillion for market caps for all the cryptocurrencies combined. So
that's pretty good considering how far they're down.
Yeah, obviously not worthless in any way, shape, or form. He goes on to say crypto is completely based on the greater fool theory. As long as there's a sucker willing to spend their fiat money on it, it will have value. And then he says, I can't explain it any better
than this. So he hates fiat. He understands the problem with fiat, but he thinks that other currencies can only get value from fiat.
That's the way he thinks. And then he links to JacobinMag.com, which is a socialist rag. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they're like a hard left magazine, and links to an attack piece that they wrote about
the
cryptocurrency.
Hard left racist, man. Yeah. This is so weird.
That's who this is. He goes on to claim that the entirety of cryptocurrency is a scam, fraud, Ponzi scheme, and a waste of money. And then he goes off on to why he thinks precious metals are a better solution. The number is 603-283-6160. But the point I wanted to get to here is that the New York governor is calling for a crackdown on social media. I don't want to talk about what that actually means for freedom of speech. And you can join us here at 603-283-6160. Learn more about Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. Learn the truth about cryptocurrency over at Bitcoin.com. Click Get Started get started. More coming up.
Do you feel like your country no longer holds your values? Have you dreamt of a place where liberty-minded people can come together and leave government overreach behind? There are many people just like you that are discovering FreePrivateCities.com. They start at FreePrivateCities.com and connect via the social media links shown there. All skills will be needed when the first of the Free Private Cities open. It's sooner than you think. Stop arguing and build FreePrivateCities.com. FreePrivateCities.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones open. You can join us here at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, we'll talk about The Handmaid's Tale. And I guess Conan will be talking about it because he actually read the book. We'll get into that coming up here in a little bit. Why it's relevant. We're also discussing the called for crackdown by the New York governor, Kathy Hochul. She says that social media needs to stop people from sharing their opinions about things that she doesn't like.
Well, we knew this was coming, right? Like, if you read the manifesto, it's clear. I mean, It seems like it was
the Buffalo shooter.
Yes, it seems like it was tailor-made to give the elites an excuse, an argument, a document to which they could point and say, "See, social media radicalized this person."
Mm-hmm. And who's to say there wasn't some department that had any?
A lot of people believe the FBI was
had any help
in
putting that together.
Why wouldn't they be? They plotted to kidnap the governor of Michigan recently. They're constantly doing crap like this.
Sure, yeah, we've seen so many examples of them ginning up terrorism strikes where none already existed. They find an easy dupe to push ideas onto, and then they pay him, and they give him a hotel room, and they give him a fake bomb. Yeah.
It's very likely the entire user base of 4chan was like this one guy and a bunch of FBI agents.
Let's go to Bad Slave. He's on the line.
And bots.
And sure.
Bots and FBI agents.
Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live. New Hampshire.
Speaking very much of the FBI's activities, people are saying that that this Buffalo shooting was... You know, they knew he was on the edge, and I mean, they actually, put this guy in the mental hospital to.
Well, he'd been evaluated plenty of times before. He threatened to shoot up his school or something to that effect, and nothing ever came of that.
He was actually put in a mental ward. I didn't know that background on him.
Yeah, and also, you know, you go to the January 6th things, they say that was also, you know, FBI sourced, you know, the Gretchen, what's her name, in Michigan, so-called kidnapping. This, you know, it goes all the way back to the Oklahoma City bombing. I think that there were,
there's long been theories about Oklahoma City and elsewhere. Thank you,
that
Bad
was
Slave,
Timothy
for the
McVeigh,
call.
Right?
Ostensibly, yeah. Supposedly. I mean, he's the guy that went to prison for it. And they say there was another guy that was involved and hit with him that never got caught.
I don't think the FBI was involved in the January the 6th thing, to be honest, because
how do you explain them letting them in the side door?
Something would have actually transpired, right? When the FBI is involved with these things, there is an actual mass shooting more often than not, or an actual kidnapping.
The whole purpose of this was to justify more government, more troops in D.C., more fear.
Yeah, but if that was their plan, they really should have gone in there and killed a bunch of people. That would have been the way to achieve that. Like, this is what they did here with this
guy. You mean the rioters or the security?
I mean, if the FBI wanted more government and they staged the entire January 6th thing or helped plan it or whatever in order to create a need for more government, I don't think they really succeeded because...
They're still talking about it. They're still dealing with this. Trials are still taking place as we speak.
There's been a lot of claims that the FBI was absolutely involved. There are certain people that did not get arrested.
You had one particular clown who's out there inciting... That they entered the building, and all the while Alex Jones is saying, "No, don't go in the building." And then you had one guy out there who was like, "Yeah, here we go."
Well, and the suspicion as to why they haven't arrested some of these people who they obviously can identify is because they were agents.
Or at least informants.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit with the FBI and how they normally do things, though. I mean, they would have gone, someone would have died.
Well, that's not necessarily true. In all of the terrorist so-called strikes that they've prevented, quote unquote, the ones that they created in the first place, they didn't give those people real bombs and send them out to do real terror. They gave them a fake bomb and then arrested them as soon as the person accepts the fake bomb.
Well, you can't arrest them until they actually try something nefarious.
Well, you could for conspiracy, but that gives them an extra charge when they actually take the first step.
And it makes the news. Otherwise, you would never hear about it.
Well, and so you've got those examples where no one died. And then you've got the just the whole idea of, do they really want to kill their buddies? I mean, the people that are in D.C., they're their coworkers, right? I mean, they certainly would if they felt like they needed to, but they were able to successfully get thousands of National Guardsmen in the streets of D.C. simply by doing this one event.
True.
So, And that's something I have not looked deeply into, but I have seen the footage from the inside of the Capitol building on, I think it was like one of the side doors, where a couple of so-called protesters, who apparently are two of those who have not been arrested, are clearly, they clearly walk up to the side door and they try to open it, and then they look up at the camera.
I haven't seen this one.
And that, as though they are like communicating with whoever it is that is at the cameras, who has control over the magnetic locks on the doors. Kind of like how we were talking about jails. There's always somebody monitoring.
Yeah.
You know, the cameras and the doors. And then all of a sudden the door is unlocked. And they're able to open the thing up and let a crowd of people come into to the building.
I haven't, honestly, I haven't looked into whether or not it could have been staged by the FBI or planned by the FBI.
There's a lot of people who are.
I'm sure, you know, there's evidence for it. I'm sure there's evidence against it. But to me, it doesn't fundamentally change anything, whether it was or wasn't.
I don't know if
orchestrated by the FBI.
I haven't been in solitary confinement for a year either. Mm-hmm. I mean, your mind might be changed if you were one of these clowns. Just a normal old person who was just following the crowd and decided you take yourself a little keepsake, you know, someone's pen off their desk or, you know, whatever. And the next thing you know,
the guy who went there, he goes to prison tomorrow to serve his 90-day sentence.
For what? Trespassing?
I don't know exactly what the charge was.
He pled out, right?
Dudes all over this country went to this event got suckered in. By the way, my dad was at this thing. Not in the building. He was at the Trump event.
Uh-huh.
And then he nowhere near the Capitol. But there's a lot of people who were just in the vicinity who got suckered into this, and this is all they're talking about. And they're making it sound like this has never happened before. There have been plenty of events that have taken place at the Capitol, bombings, you know, people storming the building with weapons.
But not this many people.
Wasn't there some Democratic
building in the past?
Wasn't there a Democratic like intern or something whose car blew up?
I've not heard that one.
Okay. I could be mistaken.
Well, they have definitely blown this so far out of proportion. It's dumb. It's just stupid at this point. Why are you still talking about this? There are other things. There are other events that
are
taking place.
They're getting political points off of this.
And people are feeding. There's a certain faction who are feeding. They feed off of this type of fear, this type of, you know, forewarning.
Well, people like Kathy Hochul, the New York Democrat.
Oh, and she probably doesn't, just like Gretchen Whitmer that we were just talking about, Hochul probably doesn't give a flip about this, but she is definitely using it.
This is how she's going to get reelected.
Yep.
Well, and now she's using the shooting in Buffalo as an excuse to demand that social media, quote, the second it hits the platform, they have to identify when information like this needs to be taken down, because this is spreading like wildfire. These theories that result in the radicalization of a young person sitting in their house is deeply scary, and it's something that has to be dealt with.
Sit in his house for 2 years during a lockdown then.
Right? Yeah, you created this. So what do? They push it further underground by canceling out and causing people to have to go dark web.
Right, because that's what you were saying earlier, Arya, is this guy got radicalized on 4chan. Which is where a bunch of these people hang out.
And he specifically says it was during the lockdown when he got bored and
had nothing else to do. That's right. So if he were able to post about these ideas on social media, he might find someone to oppose him. There might actually be people who disagree with him there. Whereas if it's on the dark net or the underground or, you know, 4chan, then you're going to just have a bunch of people piling on saying, yeah, buddy, you're right.
Considering how many people just love, they live to argue on the internet.
Sure.
I can guarantee you there'd be whatever group he'd be in, if he was open, there'd be some clown who'd be like, nope, I got to argue with this guy.
Indeed.
For the next night.
The number here is 603-283-6160. If you want to join us here, you can bring up whatever's on your mind on Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here at the number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Conan.
And you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features waiting for you. You'll find them over there, and they're free. Freetalklive.com. We do like freedom of speech here, and that means that ugly speech needs to be protected. Of course, it's the hardest to defend, because no one wants to take the side of a lunatic shooter who murdered people over the weekend. I certainly don't agree with what this person believes. However, I think
he's wrong in countless ways.
Yeah, I think he should have the right to express himself. Now, I do understand that places like Twitch and YouTube and, you know, Facebook or whatever, these are private forums. These are private property, and they can set whatever rules they want to. And they're big mega tech corporations, so they're going to do whatever it is governesses like Kathy Hochul demand that they do. The New York governor, she's saying she wants them to crack down the, quote, second it hits the platform, it needs to be taken down. She says that she's talking about this replacement theory, which is popular on the far right. The doctrine holds that people of color are replacing whites with help from elites. She calls the theory truly disgusting.
This is the thing I don't get, though. Like, even if all of this was true, because the manifesto, it did say this, like, you know, I can't live in this world knowing that the white race is going to be extinguished and replaced. Like, okay, first of all, you won't even be alive when it happens, so what do you care? But even if you were going to be alive, what do you care? What does it matter? Why are people so attached to this idea of, oh, my particular skin color must live on?
I guess it's their only sense of identity. It's really sad.
It is sad.
Well, this guy is an identitarian.
Yeah.
And not just a racist. He's a, you know, it's more specific than that. And this is all he cares about. I think that these people, they see minority groups who have like a community, they have a family. And I think that on some level, they might be envious. I think they might want that themselves. And so they get together with their other white friends. And by the way,
they're mistaken on that point. And that's where the big disconnect comes in. There are plenty of strong Italian communities, French communities, British communities, German communities.
Well, I think these displaced, and by the way, identitarians could be any race.
Mm-hmm,
but I think in this
black nationalists,
but they only ever call out white identitarians.
Sure.
But
I think
because white heterosexuals in this country have been demonized to such an extent that we don't want to be even, some people don't even want to be identified that way anymore. So they find other outlets, and or the ones who are knuckling under, and they're putting their foot down and they say, no, I'm not budging. They become this guy. They start to build their own community. And I don't, if this guy even had friends.
I mean, you
which
were is, on
which might
Chris,
be part of the problem.
You were on with Chris Cantwell on more than one occasion, yeah. And while I don't think he would describe himself as a leftist, as this person did, they clearly share a lot of beliefs.
He was definitely a social nationalist.
He was an authoritarian. He was a white nationalist.
He was a fascist.
A fascist. And I think he would have said something to the effect of, the reason why it's important to them is because they believe that some races are better than others, right? Like, that's the definition of a racist, right? Someone who's a racist believes that a particular race is superior to other races. And while if you push Chris Cantwell, he will admit to you that he actually believes Jewish people are superior to white people.
Yes, he will. He has.
Didn't he have a bunch of Jewish girlfriends, one after another?
No, I don't think.
No, he still hates them.
Or is that just Hitler?
Yeah.
But he's realistic enough. I mean, he knows if his ideology is correct, then the Jews have to be better at existing and thriving than white people in order for the Jews to be capable of exterminating white people. That's just all there is to it, right?
Well, plus they're incredibly successful financially.
Yeah, it's just natural competition, right?
But they still believe that white people are better than other races of people. And so to answer your question, the reason is that they want to purify the race or whatever, is they don't want any mixing going on to where those other races in their mind, the inferior ones, would then bring them down. So that's what that's my understanding of this whole racial purity thing.
Did this guy have any of that type of commentary in his manifesto?
I didn't read all the 180 pages. I think
some of these types that I have met in the past, I think they're concerned with becoming the minority and becoming the bottom of the pyramid, becoming disposed of when they lose enough numbers, enough strength.
That's just projection, man.
These are authoritarians.
That is this a concern is,
you
of
know,
these people.
People who want to go invade other countries and want to build walls, they are in fact projecting.
Yes,
because they would. Why do I need to build a wall? Because otherwise, because
to keep out the other.
Yeah, which is exactly what they want to do. They want to go invade other countries and take their resources. So,
well, this guy claims he doesn't want to invade other countries. He claims that everyone should separate, so therefore the, you know, different races can live in different places.
He thinks that the United States is a white country, and he wants to make it, he wants to restore its whitehood and make sure that it stays white
through violence if necessary.
He wrote, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm not lying, he thinks, he legitimately believes that black people invaded the United States. he specifically says this, you know, I don't mind black people, I just think it's wrong that they invaded the United States. Like,
well,
he's so wrong in so many ways that he reaches that point where he's just not even wrong. He's just a lunatic.
Now, sure. All right. So here we are promoting free speech and preventing this type of person from being pushed underground into the shadows where he could.
Which is what the governor of New York wants.
Exactly. So if we are going to have 100% full free speech where this guy could be on, he could be on Facebook right now where my mom is, mm-hmm. and he's spouting this type of nonsense. Do you think there would actually be help for this type of person? Do you think that this would be fixable, or would it never even occurred in the first place because he wouldn't have been
pushed
into the dark?
Poe's Law says that the best way to get the correct answer on the internet is to give the incorrect answer. And the reason I say Poe's Law is because that's incorrect.
Because of all the people who want to come out and...
If you post that statement on Facebook, you will immediately... Within an hour, have someone come and say, no, that's not Poe's Law. That's actually X's Law, because I don't remember what it actually is. But it's 100% true. People cannot stand to see someone on the internet who they think is wrong.
I didn't know there was a word for it. That's what I said earlier. It makes perfect sense. So, yeah. Okay. Well, I just answered my question. But no, Hochul, you're on the wrong track here. This is not what you wanted. And like,
well,
I said,
she is on the right track as an authoritarian.
As an authoritarian. And by the way,
that's what she does.
As I said earlier, I don't believe that she cares two flips about this guy or the people who died.
No, she cares about power.
Oh yeah,
she cares about control. As does Chuck Schumer, who they also cite in this story from Boston Herald. He also called for the crackdown by social media. "Quote: We must address the disturbing reality that the internet and social media enable purveyors of evil to spread their wicked words to poison the minds of others." So all of this language around, well, language, all poison,
rabbit, going down the rabbit hole,
and it's spreading. Purveyors of evil. They're talking about free speech, and they're using terms like this to literally demonize speech.
They've been saying for years, though, that hate speech isn't free speech. So this is just a more... once they got people to accept that idea, even if it wasn't widely accepted, it just became a matter of time before they were actually weaponizing that and putting that to use in order to prevent that free speech from being heard. I'm with you, man. Hate speech, it sucks. It's evil, and we should counter it with our own speech.
So that's it. I mean, that's basically the story. And you know the mainstream... Big tech corporations
are eating it up.
They're going to hop in line and they're going to do all this stuff. So
because the Zuckerbergs of this world, they also want this type of power.
Mm-hmm.
Because who knows where he's, you know.
And they want to cozy up with the politicians too. You know, they want to be buddy buddy with these politicians so they can be protected by them is what they believe. So that's that story. If you want to weigh in, you can join us here at 603-283-6160.
It's Cunningham's Law, by the way. The best way to get the right answer on the internet is not to ask a question. It's to post the wrong answer. And that's absolutely correct.
I love it. I've never
experience.
Heard that one.
Yeah.
You know what? Have you ever... So you have Quora, where you ask a
Quora
question.
Quora was the first place I ever heard about Cunningham's Law.
Yeah, but... For whatever reason, when I look at that site, it always seems to me there's at least one answer in there somewhere that is just so completely backwards wrong. Mm. It's like, are you trolling? Or did you, or maybe this is, what
you
is it called?
Know.
Maybe it is Cunningham's, where someone actually put the wrong answer on purpose just to get the you know, the guy, someone who's going to write a thesis, they're going to write a whole article on the answer to, I don't know, whatever was asked.
Man, I used to love Quora, though. Before they monetized and everyone's answers became hidden behind a paywall
because
I want to make 3 cents instead of sharing information.
Damn.
And before they got taken over by the left during the Trump campaign, it was such an amazing site.
We got more coming up here. Conan wants to get into
The Handmaid's Tale.
What is it? Maybe, I'm not that familiar with it. I heard there was a TV show. It's about babies, barren women, and
dystopian,
some sort of fascist
thing. Dystopian liberal future.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on the way here. If you want to join us, 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. Video.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, kicking off the second hour of the program. You're invited to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. Whether you want to talk about a potential crackdown on speech, which has already been going on for years on big tech platforms. Now, the New York governor is demanding they crack down even harder on stuff like what this Buffalo shooter believed.
Taking advantage of a tragedy.
Yep. The supposed replacement theory was what he was advocating in his 180-page long manifesto. Which, by the way, we've linked to
curious why the mainstream media is calling it replacement theory. That's not what these people call it.
Isn't it?
I thought it was.
It's white genocide.
He uses the term replacement in his manifesto.
Chat room, correct us. There's enough of you crazies in there. You know all of this.
They're the first people. When I couldn't find the manifesto, I went straight to the chat room. I was like, which one of you people has it?
Has a copy of this.
I know one of them, and sure enough, one of them did, but I ended up finding it before one of them finally got back to me.
Yeah, the word replacement appears by the second page.
Okay.
In this thing.
Are they
using both?
Many more times. And it's actually on the second page many times. So yeah, he's all into that.
Okay.
Anyway.
I just thought they called it white genocide.
Yeah. Well, okay, good, good, good.
Yeah, he might call it that too. I don't know. But anyway, if you want to weigh in on that, you still can. Let's see. We're going to go to the phone calls, though, first. And then Conan's going to tell us about the handmaids.
And by the way, chat room, I understand it means replacing white ones with immigrants. I'm talking, what did they use? Do they use white genocide or do they use replacement theory? Or do they use both? Because replacement theory is new to me.
Both. After talking about replacements, he then says this is white genocide. So it's all tied into the same thing.
Replacement theory is probably just their better sounding version of it, right?
Maybe so. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. Steven in Georgia, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, two things. One, y'all were talking about what a racist is earlier. And I think that you missed something that is rather important. Racism is a spectrum, right? So
is it?
I grew up being told, like, not me being told, but my sisters being told not to date black men. And then my uncle believed that none of his
Jesus, dude, where are you from?
Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm from Mississippi, and even it was understood that, you know, dad would be really upset if my sister did, but there was never any command or order like you're talking about. So I'm just surprised to hear that. Go ahead.
So my sisters were told, but me and my brothers were not. My uncle told all of his children.
Well, it probably was definitely understood that you, Stephen, were not allowed to date black men.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But, like, there was never any, like, it was not okay to, like, say the N-word. It was not okay to be racist. Like, besides that, like, that was the line that my family drew. And whites were not married non-whites.
Well,
right?
No, I got to disagree with you. You said racism is a spectrum. It's absolutely not. It's very clearly defined as the belief that one race is superior or inferior to the other. Now, what you're saying is that people's expression of racism exists on a spectrum, meaning that your family wasn't willing to go this far and say the N-word, but they were willing to tell their daughters not to date black people.
Well, by the dictionary definition, is that racism? I know what racism means today. It's something completely different.
Telling your daughters not to date black people?
Correct.
Well, it would depend. If the reason why they're saying that is because they believe that black people are inferior, then yes, it absolutely is racism. And I suspect if you got an honest answer out of them, that is what they would say. Because I can't imagine them cooking up some other reason. Like, what could the other reason possibly be?
I mean, I realize that's the difference, but I disagree with it ideologically. I think that racism is... I don't believe that superiority and inferiority have to play into it, right? If you firmly believe that, you know, there is a fundamental difference between people on the basis of race, that makes you a racist, right?
No.
Well, that's...
I know
that's
not
what
the definition.
It is. That's what the new definition...
That's how I understand.
That's what 2022's definition is. Mm-hmm. If you think there are differences, you...
No. There are differences between individuals, but to point to those differences...
There are also differences between races. Black people have more melanin in their skin.
But saying that makes you a racist.
No, it doesn't.
By today's standards, it does.
Well, but that's false.
But race is also a spectrum that isn't really a thing in the first place.
Take every
human being and arrange them according to skin color and find me the exact line where a person stops being white and they start being black. No one can do it.
Sure. It's
a fruitless task.
Same thing's true between hot and cold.
Right.
So it's all just a spectrum.
We can take the whitest person and put them next to the blackest black person and say, okay, well, these are clearly different races, but there's a huge... There's 7 billion other people out there that are between those two. And at what point are you going to draw the line and say, this person's white and this person's black? To me, it's just a category that humans made up. Sure, there are genetic lines and there are differences between these genetic lines and stuff like that. But the idea of race and how it's so heavily based on skin color is just absolute nonsense.
Exactly. But why do people spend so much of their day thinking about it?
Because it's easier to point to that.
And picking which race they identify with.
I wish we could just eliminate... I like what you're saying here, Arya. I wish we could eliminate the concept and just talk about the human race.
And individuals.
There's no doubt about it. But
people clump themselves into these communities, into these groups, and they want to be a part of some tribe, some group, because that's... Well, I mean, evolution.
Even though there's tremendous differences within the black community, right? Some people who are black are conservative. Some people who are black are not conservatives and so on, right?
Biden was clear. Those people aren't really black.
So at the end of the day, Biden decides what race you are.
Well, sure. Politicians want to divide people. Politicians want to keep racism alive.
Oh,
as much as they talk against it.
The pitchfork bearers versus the torch bearers.
Yeah,
keep them busy fighting amongst themselves, and they can go off and do whatever the hell they want.
Stephen, any other thoughts? Go ahead.
So in my family, the idea was that we weren't superior. We were just different. So I think there's a spectrum, right? But I also agree with Arya that race is a spectrum, right? But the one thing that really concerns me, I want to talk about this just for a moment. Does anybody else think that there are politicians who have lawyers and contract writers and lawmakers that just work around the clock writing bills in case something happens?
Yes, they have that. That's why the Patriot Act
was written many, many years before 9/11.
Okay.
And by the way, was it Biden or McCain's?
I don't remember.
One of these clowns.
Stephen, thanks, man, for the call.
By the way, Steve, how many of your relatives, your close relatives, ended up having relationships with black people?
Two, and they're not talked to by their parents, unfortunately. I talked to them.
But you see,
is it because they've had relationships with black people that their parents don't associate with them, or is it just unrelated stuff?
I think one was, I'm going to sleep with this black man because I want to make my parents angry. And then the other one was, one of my cousins was in a relationship with a black man. Her brother dropped the N-word. Nobody scolded the brother. She got upset. And when she
not to say the N-word in your family.
No, my mom would have smacked the stupid out of my mouth, but he had a different mom because we're cousins.
Gotcha. Sorry,
we're not
I missed Alabama. That.
Yeah. Ari, your first explanation, growing up in the Deep South, I saw so many mixed race couples, and almost every one of the white girls who was with a black man, it seemed half of them were just to spite the dad, the dad who was, in fact, a racist.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen, for the call tonight. Whether his family was racist or not, using the excuse that, they're different, as an excuse for, this is why we're not racist. We just don't want you to hang around with people who are quote-unquote different. All right, so now your parents are bigots.
Biggest on the basis of race. I think there's a word for that.
More coming up here at 603-283-6160. You can share your thoughts. Bring up whatever's on your mind here on Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, inviting you to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Kermit.
Of course, you can join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have for you there. We're going to go back into your phone calls and thoughts. And then Conan wants to talk about The Handmaid's Tale. It's a book and apparently a TV series. Is it Netflix that's doing
it? I think it's Hulu.
Hulu, okay. So we'll talk about that and why that's relevant, why you're bringing it up.
You mentioned the book, Conan, and I'm hating myself for it. I have plenty of time. I don't want to watch the series, but I'd absolutely read the book.
Well, hold on.
I don't know why it never occurred to me to do that.
Hold off on that.
We'll
get into that. But before while we're still on the concept, the conversation of race, and I'm looking at...
Yeah.
We have so many damn chat rooms. It's hard to keep up because I'm having to flip through all of them. Okay. I wish we had one localized group. But anyways, in our Odyssey chat room, Logical Cynical mentioned that actually the replacement theory is a left. Of course, this guy was left. We're asking what the difference is between white genocide and replacement theory. Replacement theory is a left ideology which focuses on replacing white workers with immigrants. If you go around this country, even in our own town here, you'll hear the local mayor and whatnot, and especially left-leaning individuals who realize that there's a Ponzi scheme problem. There is a social security problem where we don't have enough workers. And so they're always going on about how we need to bring in migrants, immigrants, refugees from other countries. From these war-ravaged countries, mm-hmm. which, by the way, are probably war-ravaged, done with missiles that were purchased from American companies.
Sure.
So you're always hearing this argument that we need to bring these people in to prop the Ponzi scheme up. So this is, I agree with this. I think that this is, in fact, people, they might not say it themselves. The people who want to bring refugees in this country, I'm not going to say that it's all about replacement theory, but that's what the naysayers will say that it is. It's a left-leaning thought process that involves bringing more worker drones into the country.
So I guess the difference between like libertarians is that I don't want to bring refugees and immigrants here. I just don't care if they come here. Whereas I'm not actively out there trying to recruit refugees and immigrants. I just have the libertarian perspective. Hey, if they want to come here, let them come here.
If they want to come here and be a part of the community, great. Now, the problem is, and this is what the white genocide types and replacement theory are going to say, is that, what social programs are they taking advantage of that has been offered to them?
Get rid of that problem. Yeah,
if you remove all that nonsense, they will only come here to better themselves and to become part of the community,
I don't believe very many people are coming here because they want to be mooches off the stage.
I've never met immigrants like that.
Overblown, right wing talking point.
I grew up in Florida, and we had every type of Latin American, Hispanic type you can think of, and I met some really great people.
Yeah, hard workers,
and hard ass workers, much harder working, mm-hmm. especially some of the older Mexicans that I knew. Much harder working than, my white neighbors.
I encountered more Hispanic immigrants when I lived in the South, and they they were generally farmers, and they worked hard, because, I mean, if you're farming in Mississippi, you're not having a good time.
Anybody
you're working hard
who,
and you're
anybody
sweating.
Who farms
True.
Is typically working hard.
But here, most of the immigrants I know are like Middle Eastern and stuff like that, and they're all extremely productive people.
Entrepreneurial.
Yeah, the only people I know here in New Hampshire, and this was generally true in Mississippi, who subsisted largely off of welfare, they were white.
Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. We'll talk to...
On the spectrum. They were white.
Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Sarah.
Yes. Have you heard that story that Superman story was actually inspired by the story of Moses?
No, so never heard that one.
You mean he was put in an ark, a basket, and he was found by a woman who raised him as her son? Yeah, that's
okay.
I see that. But he was also a Messiah figure. So you've got that connection.
Yeah, he was like that. Well, the thing is that the couple that sold the rights to Superman, they were actually a Jewish couple, from what I was told. So I learned, they knew the Bible story pretty well, the Old Testament. So
Superman is 100. That's a 100-year-old comic. They were making Superman when it was black and white. So I mean, are we talking about what creators are you talking about?
Well, weren't there people that sold the copyrights to that story so they couldn't make once they sold the rights, they could not collect the royalties, and they sold it for like $1,200 like 80 years ago? They were a Jewish couple. So,
are you a big comic book fan or something, Sarah?
No, I learned this from going to the Legacy Church. It was part of that church that was
It was a church where Sarah almost died because someone tested positive, right?
Well, that church was fined $10,000 because they refused to follow the mask rule.
This was the church that you called about a few weeks ago because they were the only ones that were willing to pick you up from your house and bring you to church?
Right, and then I was sitting on the van with the COVID virus for 20 minutes.
Sarah, you must have been terrified. Yeah, thank you for your service.
Out.
How are you coping with the PTSD from this?
Well, you know, I ran out and got a booster shot at Walgreens. That's how I coped. Yeah. I went there this last Sunday, and they were so nice. And the guy bought us donuts and coffee because we had an hour before the service started. So I'm just really grateful.
They seem like they're a lot nicer to you than you are to them, for sure.
Yeah, so I'm seeing that. And so now, what did they say about this couple, couple?
Okay, so the Superman story was kind of very similar to Moses. Is that, remember the Superman, with the planet was going to blow up. So their parents put that little baby, the Superman baby, on a rocket ship, and then they flew them into Earth. And then the earthly parents found them and raised them.
And that's where the connection ends. That's it. Because
the thing is that he became a superhero and saved and rescued a lot of people.
Yeah, but Moses wasn't a superhero.
But Sarah, what you're pointing out here is that there really are no new ideas, and pretty much everything is kind of repackaged over time. Thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it. Let's go to Major Payne. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, just wanted to give your listeners a heads up if they're having trouble with your listen line. I've called in many times, and it'll say this thing is offline, and then you call back, and I'll get right through. Well, this time I called three times, and it said it was offline. So that made my one eyebrow go up. So I waited about 30 seconds and called in, and then I got through. Well, of course, they did the 5 seconds of dead air thing a couple times. But then a little while later, they came on and said, this program is offline. And they said it like five, six
times.
Yeah,
it sucks. I've heard about these complaints, and every time I go to look into it, I call it up, and then it's working again, and it's just like...
Where is Major Payne located? Is he out in the middle of the wilderness?
I don't know. He's in Michigan.
He has phone service, but he doesn't do the internet or anything like that.
Because they won't even run internet to him because it's so spotty out there?
I think he just chooses not to do it. I'm not sure.
I would have to really find out who it is that even provides these lines. It's been so long since I've been in touch with them. And ultimately, it's a free service, so it's like, you know, you get what you pay for, basically. I think he was calling in about something important. We'll continue with Major Payne. Your calls and thoughts are welcome, and we'll get into The Handmaid's Tale. Conan wants to talk about it coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
Insight Daily Radio. Conversations with today's most interesting artists and creators. Author, humorist, and radio personality Garrison Keillor has been a fixture in popular culture since the 1970s, with more than 30 best-selling books and his Prairie Home Companion radio program. And he has a new book entitled Boomtown, a Lake Wobegon novel. We caught up with Garrison to chat about his new book and the creative journey that continues to bring Lake Wobegon to life.
Early morning is the greatest time. It wasn't always that way, and I don't know what changed things. I quit alcohol in 2002. That might have something to do with it. But you wake up at 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning in a quiet, dark apartment, and I put on the coffee and I sit down, and out of your sleep, out of your dream life, come ideas.
That's author and humorist Garrison Keillor, whose new book, Boomtown, a Lake Wobegon novel, has just been released and is now available wherever books are sold.
Free Talk Live. Phones are open here at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Tonight, you've got Ian.
How are you?
And Conan.
You can join us online over at freetalklive.com. Lots of features are there for you, including podcasts. You can follow our podcast of whichever preference you have. There are different options over at feeds.freetalklive.com. Just copy the link that you want to subscribe to, put it into your podcast client of choice, and then you will receive all the episodes of Free Talk Live as they are released. Go to feeds.freetalklive.com to do that. We go back to Major Payne in Michigan. Major, were you calling about something else tonight?
Yeah, I was, but you never let me get the last sentence on that last gig. After they had said that you guys were offline 4, 5, 6 times, instead of hanging up, I held on, and the program came back on. So what I'm saying
crazy.
Is be patient and update them, right? Yeah,
I think there's like 5 people that use the listen line, though, so I suspect most of our listeners find this completely irrelevant, but thanks for the report. What were you?
I love the ad spot that we run for the listen line, though, because it's like, if you don't have internet, you didn't download the podcast, you're out in the middle of nowhere, and you can't do anything about it. There's like this long list of things that have right. to be true, and it's like,
why you, would
you
use
can
this?
Still listen to the show. So it's awesome. I'm glad it's there. I'm glad it exists.
The last 2 commercial spots, you advertised the listen line, and there was trouble with it, so I figured I'd give you all a heads up.
All right, what else?
All right. Well, as far as the hatred for the Jews and races and such, the hatred for the Jews goes back to ancient times, because they were all tribal, and they taught their children, you know, numbers and how to read and whatnot before you could have your bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. Depending on if you were a boy or a girl, you had to be, you know, lettered and such. They had to be able to tell the name of their ancestors all the way back to Adam before they could have their little 13th birthday party there and become a man.
I don't know that it was envy, though. That seems to be what you're suggesting. My understanding of, you know, the Old Testament is, not saying this is true of people today, but the Jews really liked to start wars back then. And own accounting of what happened then, and they're constantly starting wars with people according to the Bible.
They were conquered many times and dispersed over the world, but no matter where they went, they stayed together, and wherever they went, they were lettered. So they were generally smarter than the people that they were replacing. You know, they get work their ways into the royal courts and such. It's rumored quite notoriously that Christopher Columbus was a Jew that weaseled his way into the Spanish court. And it goes back to being lettered. I mean, if you can't count your gold, how are you going to know if you're being cheated?
I don't know.
That's why they became bankers and you know, lawyers and all this kind of thing.
I mean, there's probably something within Jewish culture that does, you know, drive people to be, you know, professionals and good at that sort of thing. We see the same thing in Mormonism. If you go to Utah or Nevada, a ton, probably 90% of the attorneys that you interact with are going to be Mormons, because it's just within their cultural drive. And it's the same reason that there are so many Asian kids going to colleges that at super advanced colleges and, you know, with math scholarships or whatever, because they're really good at math. They just have that cultural drive to excel and to be better. It's more a matter of culture than anything.
Even in most of the Oriental races, they have a harder worth ethic, and they put more value in education. But
then who?
Then most of the white people you were talking about on welfare, let's put it quite frankly.
But I'll give you that, because, you know, when I think about these racist people, these racist white people who just, they may not call themselves racist, but like we were talking about with, I think, who?
Steven's
family, they don't call themselves racist, but they're definitely racist. I think about my father, mm-hmm. He wouldn't call himself racist, but he absolutely is. And he's the biggest welfare whore I know.
Mm. Major,
well,
thanks.
Everybody wants to have somebody to look down their nose at.
Now, this is true. And they also want to be a part of a tribe. Because, you know, it's all a sports ball.
Interesting.
It's all my team is better than yours, and let's just fight
all day
long.
Well, that's true for people who, you know, if they have nothing to be proud of, then that's what they have to do. They have to resort to nationalism or racism or religion.
Or ancestry.
Or ancestry.
Something that they themselves have not done to accomplish.
So actually...
Oh, I was born this way.
I'm glad that was mentioned, because you know what? That's the problem. There aren't enough individuals with their own accomplishments who are basically working to make themselves better, mm-hmm. And they don't have to rely on my group, my family, my country, my sports team.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, this is me. This is who I am, and, you know.
Thank you, Major Payne, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. The number is 603-283-6160. Conan, you got into The Handmaid's Tale. What inspired you to pick this book up?
Well, you know what? It's 2022.
It is.
I look around, and with Roe versus Wade and Trump and all of these events, either I'm seeing a pink pussy hat on protesters, on activists, and or I'm seeing the Handmaid's outfit. Because these people, a specific group of people who don't like me, and I don't really like them either, they have claimed that we are becoming The Handmaid's Tale, the dystopian future that is dystopian patriarchy, where Trump's legacy is becoming real, and we have to be fearful of this fact.
Okay,
so Trump way too much credit to think that Trump had a notable legacy. I'm sure that makes Trump very happy.
The God Emperor Trump, of course, he has a legacy.
The Trump people believe that.
No, any more so than any other president.
Hey, you know what? I don't know what I don't know why the people love him. He's a good troll. That's why
he's entertaining.
I like looking at his tweets. I hope he gets back on Twitter one day.
But
same thing with Elon Musk. But you know what? I don't get it. Except that if you get into mass formation, he has become the leader of the right of these hypnotized people, and has rallied them. To help fight the other, the enemy, which is that these people who are dressing up in Handmaid's outfits.
I remember some of the stuff he said while campaigning about Hispanics, man, and it continues to baffle me that he ever became president while openly saying things on national radio like, you know, the people coming over the border, they're rapists, they're drug dealers, they're...
And meanwhile, I run into Hispanics all the time who are Trumpers.
Yeah, and then he goes, and some of them are probably good people. Like, just a stowaway line, it's like, dude, he became president while saying that Mexicans are rapists and drug dealers and serial killers.
What were you going to say, Ian?
Well, I just want to know about this Handmaid's Tale. I mean, you're saying people are predicting that it's happening. Can you tell us about what it is?
So basically, I'm a dystopian guy. I read all these books. I just want to understand my enemy better.
Okay.
And of course, I had, I was working the last 2 weeks, and I had lots of time to, I didn't read it, by the way, I listened to the audiobook. It was narrated by, I guess, the girl who plays in the show.
Oh.
I think her name is Emma Stone or Emma something.
Hmm.
So here's my takeaway. First and foremost, have you guys ever, and by the way, disclaimer, I listened to the 1985 book, The Handmaid's Tale. I have not seen the show, nor will I.
Oh, okay.
And I have not read any of the other books in the series, which I will not.
How many are there?
I think there's three. There may be more. But so I don't know anything about what the show has tried to convey. I know what the book, what I've gotten out of the book, which is, I think it was 10 hours. So it's a short book. Are you guys familiar with the Harlequin romance novels?
I am, yeah.
The ones with Fabio on the front?
Yep.
And there are thousands of these things?
Yeah.
And they're dirt cheap.
Yeah. I read my first romance novel while I was in jail.
I read mine when I worked at a casino long, long ago. So someone left one in a room, and it just ended up in one of the rooms, one of our storage rooms. And you know, we didn't have anything else to do. So I was like, I'm going to grab this and read it. It's absolutely ridiculous.
As you guys know, I sell books online. Mm-hmm. I do not sell Harlequin romance novels because they're so dirt cheap, and there's so many of them. People leave them on the side of the road because they're ridiculous. All right. This book, Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale, is a Harlequin romance rape fantasy. The entire book, every other page, is nothing but sex with her oppressors.
Wow. All right.
I don't know that that's been conveyed in the show.
I would imagine not.
Well, let's talk about that in a second.
And if you've seen the show, you want to weigh in, you're welcome to join us here, 603-283-6160. You can join us on the radio here on Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. Bring up whatever is on your mind at 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Conan.
And you can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com. You can follow our social media and post on our site. It's social.freetalklive.com. It's our own server. We run a Mastodon server, which means it is open source. It's free. It's federated, so you can connect with other people on other Mastodon servers all across the planet. It's a very, very cool system. And because we run the thing, it means you've got more freedom to express yourself over at social.freetalklive.com. That's social.freetalklive.com. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts, and then we'll get back into The Handmaid's Tale. Conan's on a roll about this.
Read of the week.
Yeah, he's read it, and he didn't like it.
I thought it was dumb.
All right, so let's go to Nick in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live, Nick.
Yes, hello, guys. Hope you all are doing well tonight.
Sure, what's on your mind?
I mostly wanted to discuss the whole issue with regards to white nationalism, especially given the shooting that had taken place recently. And I really wanted to ask both of you guys, because I had seen Aria talking to Chris Cantwell, that guy from all those years ago, and crazy guy, I know. But I wanted to really know from you all, do you all see this sort of thing just rising and becoming a very prevalent threat?
No. If anything, it's getting less. Now the media is making it out to be the most horrific event that has taken place in our lifetimes, and that if we're not careful, it's going to basically there's a white nationalist right across the street from me, and he's on the internet right now planning and plotting, and if we're not careful, he's going to burn down the Capitol building of New Hampshire because it all in the name of white nationalism. That's what they're leading us to believe. But no, I grew up in the Deep South. I actually grew up with other. Because that's what we get a lot from commenters, that we're three white people in a room in New Hampshire with a very, very low diversity ratio. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the Deep South. I have actually experienced racism inflicted upon me, like in a horrific, bad way.
What they call you, honky?
Yeah.
No. Cracker? I was about to get my ass whooped because I was in the wrong side of town.
Okay. And you were white.
And I was white.
Another thing I also wanted to ask is just, do you really think that all this censorship and everything is going to backfire, and that it's actually going to stoke more people into becoming, you know, and thinking that maybe because those voices are being censored, that maybe it's adding some brand of legitimacy to them?
Well, what it does do, and I think we touched on this earlier, is it does create an echo chamber. So because these people are forced out of mainstream platforms, they're not allowed on Facebook, they're not allowed on Twitch or Twitter or whatever, and that's what the government wants to continue and wants to increase, is excising these people from any kind of polite conversation, any kind of actual places where they could find opposition. And so that's going to push them into an underground. It's going to push them onto places where only their type of people exist. As you had said earlier, Arya, had this person bothered to do any research on the claims that he started to believe, he would have seen all kinds of other alternatives.
I think it's more insidious than that, though, because it adds resentment to it. And from this guy's point of view, you know, white people are under attack. They're being assaulted, and it's because they're white. They're not allowed to have, you know, white culture, white identity, and all of that. So banning the people who say that, who believe that, and want to talk about that
plays into it.
It just reinforces that in their heads. It makes them, I don't want to say it proves them right, because they're not right, but it makes them believe that it confirms their belief.
Sure. You have another element to this, and it's called the Streisand effect. When you try to remove something from the conversation forcefully, all you do when you mention it is everyone and their sister's brother is Googling it right now, and they're talking and they're thinking about it. Now, you know, we said two terms this evening that don't get mentioned a whole lot: white genocide and replacement theory. How many people had to Google that just now? And now they're people who didn't ever think about this before. And now it's actually a concept that's out there, and now you have people who are like, wait, hold on, I kind of identify with that. Only because you have the Hochuls of this world who are trying to suppress it, who are actually, but maybe they mention it, maybe they're talking about it, and it's actually creating buzz, and it's also, which is what they want. They want the pitchforkers and the torchbearers fighting with each other all the time. So all eyes are not on these politicians, these lawmakers who are dictating our lives.
I mean, it's also pointless, right? Yeah. It's the year 2022, as you said earlier, and they still haven't completely eliminated the theory that the Earth is flat. This idea persists, and there are still people who worship the Greek gods, the Norse gods. They're rare, but they exist. Sure. This concept that, you know, we can somehow banish this idea of white supremacy if we just keep going out on attack and banning it from this platform and that platform, suddenly one day we'll magically eradicate it from human existence. That's absolute nonsense. They'll always find somewhere to talk about it.
It's going to make it worse, but I don't think it's ever going to get to the point of any kind of serious threat, Nick, especially if people can remain armed. I did see there was an interview apparently with a black gentleman outside of the grocery store in Buffalo who pointed out that if more people had guns, this thing wouldn't have gone as far as it did.
This is true. That your safe spaces don't work.
Absolutely.
Nick,
I mean, Chris
else?
Cantwell, yeah, never attacked anyone, and I suspect the reason was, yeah, because he regularly interacted with so many peace advocates who, you know, kept him from jumping over that ledge. I don't know that, but I suspect that played a hand.
I'd like to believe that, sure. Nick, other thoughts?
Yeah, I just wanted to get back to what Conan had said about, like, the Streisand effect and all that, and how, you know, pretty much you don't really know very many white nationalists or anything like that. But what just scares me is just that, like, that's the whole plan here is it's basically to try and bring this massive amount of attention to it and to further drive people apart.
Yeah, I think that's all. This is what this is. This is the drive a wedge between some groups.
They want to actually create the Nazis, basically.
So and it's not just race, you know? It's they're working on they're the globalists, the elite, they're working on every single wedge that they can possibly inflict, you know, whether it be race, whether it be class, whether it be sex. It's working,
and really,
but I still don't like but you mentioned whether we think this is worse than it's ever been. Nah, I think it's about what it's always been.
I tend to agree with that.
I guess I'm more so worried about, like, the future, you know, just because.
I mean, I've seen news coverage of people being water hosed down, and dogs set on them, and people just walking out of their mob and striking activists. I don't see that. This is from 50, 60 years ago. I don't see anything like that now, except a lot of microaggressions. Oh, some dude cut in front of me at the line. He's racist.
Well, I'll tell you what, Nick, there's no point in worrying about it, because that's not going to make anything any better. There are actions that you can take to try to make a better future for yourself. So, you know, depending on what your belief system is, you could migrate.
I would just say, I would definitely say the number one cure for this kind of thing is definitely humor. And I think Arya did a fantastic job standing up to Chris Cantwell like that and just he's emotionally insecure for one. I mean, just listening to the guy, he was just really not that great.
You're referring, by the way, to a special episode of Free Talk Live we did on off the radio. It was Freer Talk Live, and an internet-only edition of the show where you and the then racist, and I believe still racist, Christopher Cantwell were here in this studio. I believe it was called She-Male versus Nazi.
There were two occasions. Yeah. There was one where it was just a Freer Talk Live, and the second one was, which incidentally occurred 2 years, I think it was 2 years prior to my getting my door kicked in by the FBI, almost to the day. It was March the 15th that we had that. That was She-Male versus Nazi.
You can go to the Odyssey channel and search for that, and I suspect you'd be able to pull it up if you wanted to. It didn't last very long because he ended up storming out of the studio.
He did. That's still one of the best parts, right?
Thanks, Nick, for the call tonight, man. I do appreciate
You're
hearing from you.
Thank you.
Yeah, again, no point in worrying about what's going to happen. You can be sure the government people are going to try to keep people divided. They're going to try to focus on differences between people and get them afraid of one side versus the other, taking control of the government and forcing their beliefs on others. And so that's the old game, is to get people to obsess over this. And the best way out of it is to literally move, is to migrate physically to another place where people share your values. So if you're a hard leftist, get on out to the West Coast. If you are a conservative, get down to places like Florida and Texas. If you're a libertarian or a voluntarist, you need to get to New Hampshire, because I'm sorry to say there's nowhere else you can go where there's no, you know, there's no significant community of people that actually give a damn about freedom. That's here in New Hampshire, and it doesn't exist anywhere else.
No one seems to believe that it works.
What, the migration thing?
No, freedom.
Oh, yeah, sadly.
They're scared to try it.
They are.
Sure, scared of the unknown. I mean, that's also a human condition. They want safety. They want security, and that's what the state offers.
I don't want safety. I want fun and freedom.
Yeah. That's right. But that entails risk, and people are risk-averse, and the state encourages that. So, more coming up here. We'll talk about The Handmaid's Tale. What's that have to do with today? It's Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, kicking off the third hour here. As always, you're invited if you want to join us. Number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And by the way, I did do a little digging, and I found that we do have another listen line out there. And maybe this one's more reliable, I don't know. But for those of you that actually care about our listen line, go ahead and grab a pen or whatever, and I'll give it to you here.
How many listen lines are there? Two?
There's at least three that are operating in some capacity or another. There's one that is Free Talk Live 24/7. So whenever you call it, it's always Free Talk Live, the last episode, or us live, right? So once our live show is done, it's 21 hours of that same show repeating. And then there's one that is the LRN.FM stream, which has us live and has our replay, which is like 6 in the morning or whatever. So those are the only two times Free Talk Live is on the other one. Otherwise, you're listening to the other shows, and there's dozens of libertarian shows on LRN.FM. And that's the one that I found another phone number for, which is as follows, 667-930-9900. That's 667-930-9900. So
you said 66, and I got so excited. And then it was 7.
I don't think there is a 666.
I'm sure there's not, man. The Christians would be so upset.
They would freak out about that. So anyway, I'll make a promo for it. And
would
get
you
it on
go
here.
Live in that area code, Arya, if
no,
that
I
existed?
Love Keene. I would campaign to have the Keene area code changed to 666, though.
That ain't working.
So
no, there's an unusual pride here about area code 603. That's
in a lot of places.
I've never seen it elsewhere.
Never seen it either. This is the first time I've seen an area code where people write songs about it.
Maybe that's because it covers the whole state.
Doesn't 802 cover all of Vermont?
Well, and you know what? I think my boss has mentioned it a couple times in passing.
And I've definitely seen on the internet in the last 20 years people talking about, we're from the blah, 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 whatever, you know, numbers.
They just say 603.
Yeah, or, you know, whatever it was, California area code, or people have some pride in these arbitrary numbers that were assigned by governments.
It's all tribal.
Yeah,
sports,
totally.
Sports ball. My team better. My all team. Right.
Let's dig into this thing, Conan, this Handmaid's Tale. You read this book. You said it's terrible.
It's not terrible. It's just not good.
Okay. not worth reading the sequel, you said.
When I left off, I mentioned a strong statement that I think that the entire book, at least the first one, is a rape fantasy.
Wow.
It's a romance. It's a novel, a romance novel written for women.
Mm-hmm.
Which highlights
it is long for a rape fantasy.
Which
dude.
Highlights maybe not maybe maybe rape is a little strong, but it highlights dominance fantasy
mm-hmm.
that supposedly, and I have a study here that we might get into. Supposedly, a Canadian company, our survey team did a study many years ago, which suggests that women, overwhelmingly 60% of women, do in fact have dominant fantasies on as long as
there's a huge difference between like CNC though and dominance. CNC is consensual non-consent. That's the official term used in communities for rape fantasies because the word rape is pretty harsh and mm-hmm. you don't want to go around saying that. So it's CNC, right?
When you consider that these people were when you consider that because we're skipping ahead to the study, but this is consensual acts.
Yes.
How can you put rape into a consensual act? So it doesn't even make sense from the get-go.
It's CNC. It's consensual non-consent. It's pretend.
Okay. Well, 60% of women are into it.
I'm not surprised, but I mean that's not surprising, but I want to... there's another reason that we get away from the word rape, that people use the word CNC. It's that there is no consenting to being raped. Almost no one out there wants
the definition
to be raped,
right? Right.
But consensual non-consent is a different thing. They're in control there. It's like the dom sub relationship. The dom isn't really the one in control.
So as long
there.
As there is a safe word, and a way out, then it is consensual.
The sub is ultimately the one in control because they're the ones with the safe word. They can make things stop at any time.
Right. Well, in this book, according to Margaret Atwood, these handmaids don't have that option. But why do I think that it is this fantasy?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just skimming. I'm not like reading the book.
Our main character, a girl by the name of Alfred, she's basically been she's been assigned as a handmaiden because she is she's capable of bearing children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this dystopian future, it's not explained specifically why. It could be radiation. It could be. Poison in the food, but most of the population are unable to give birth.
Hmm.
So you have this one group that moves in, the Gileads. They move in and they take over the existing government. They put roots down, and they start this patriarchy. I have a problem with that as well. I'll get that in a second.
Okay.
But basically. Her daily life, it's kind of written as a memoir. I don't know if it's written to her late husband, who may still be alive, or written to her daughter, which is presumably alive.
It's written terribly, and I have two primary issues with it. Aside from it being first-person perspective, which is almost always an indication of exactly what you're talking about, it's the author creating a character to live vicariously through that character. We saw the same thing in Twilight and stuff like that. It's almost never done well.
Right.
The other issue...
Because it's not about the story. It's about having...
It's about them living out some fantasy. She's basically having a fantasy here and writing it out. That's
exactly what this book is.
That's almost always what first person is. But my biggest issue with it is that it's written in present tense. Like, this is happening, or this is the color. And you always want to write in past tense, man. I cannot stand this.
There's really nothing going on. She doesn't really explain. There's no world building at all. I mean, it's a little bit there, but it's really hard to understand. Like, who are they at war with?
It's very much like a Clockwork Orange in that respect, where it just seems to jump straight in, and it doesn't actually explain the world. It just says, you'll have to figure it out as we go.
And maybe that was her intent, but I don't think so, because most of this girl's daily activities are her grocery shopping. And then her coming home at night and dealing with the gate guards or the passport guards or dealing with the doctor who is checking her, the physically health, the health doctor, the gynecologist or whatever, the driver who's driving him around.
And
of course,
you say
the
she's having sex with all these people?
No. She's only having sex with the commander who she's assigned to.
Okay.
And
okay.
eventually...
But she's fantasizing
about it? She's a handmaid.
She's only supposed to be having sex with the director or the commander.
Okay.
Because she needs to bear him children because the commander's
wife can't.
She does, of course, end up having sex with the driver because she can't get him pregnant from the commander. So she goes with this younger dude who does get her knocked up.
You mentioned this during the break. There were aunts, there were Marthas, and there were handmaids, there were wives. Can you explain any of this?
The liberals have been telling me forever and ever, this is all patriarchy, which it is. There are some levels of this going on, but no, it's a caste system. You have all these different castes, and they're all on the level. And handmaidens,
when you say
by
this,
the way,
do you mean the book or the real world?
The book.
Okay.
So yes, you have your handmaidens, which aren't at the bottom of the level, by the way. And then you have your Marthas. Your Marthas are like your housewife, your servants.
So rather than just a hierarchy, what are these things? What do they do? What does a handmaid do in this world?
Bears children.
Has sex, right?
Okay.
Bears
does
children.
She take care of the child too?
Nope.
And the Marthas.
She has a child, and then she moves on to the next commander.
Oh.
And what do the Marthas do?
The Marthas are the they're the house servants.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you have the aunts, and the aunts are the strict authoritarians who control the handmaidens, which includes rearing, acclimatizing them to their new job.
Okay.
Then you have your wives. So, and by the way, a lot of the wives have their own power structure. And then you have your super lower caste who are living out in the colonies and whatnot. So it's not really, there's dudes in charge, but this whole patriarchy idea, you know, down with the patriarchy because it's going to destroy. This is exactly what would happen in many communities where calamity occurs, and the people, humans, they want to survive. And so they build this structure that definitely has a king at the top or a powerful leader at the top. And then you have your different levels going all the way down to some guy living in the mud.
Why is this thing taking off now?
Because Trump bad, Orange Man bad. He wants to create this. good point. Because I don't think it's about the book. I think it's about the show.
We're coming up. It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here and bring up whatever you want. 603-283-6160. We're talking about The Handmaid's Tale. Conan has read the book, and it was so bad he refuses to continue and read the sequel. Has not seen the show. I haven't seen the show, have not read the book. I've only heard about it.
Let me be clear, I've only sort of glimpsed through like the first 10% of the book. I don't see anything like that, but I'm not reading. I'm just glimpsing through.
Ian, you asked a very good question, and why do you think that this even means anything? Why does this even matter?
Yeah, why is it coming out now, 40 years
and
later?
And I don't believe that this would have ever caught on from the book.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there must be something in this show, which I'm just not going to watch. I've just read too many reviews to just say how horrible it is. People are hate watching it. People are fear watching it. They're getting off on it, even though they're claiming how horrible it is. I think that's
Game of Thrones, right? That was essentially why a lot of people watched that. They were like, oh no, I wish it didn't have all the gore and the sex and the violence, but that was what they were there for.
Absolutely.
I mean, no one was going to the ancient gladiator coliseums because they wanted to. They wanted the blood and gore. Nothing has changed. We're still the same crazy, violent animals we've always been.
Hmm.
I mean, as a species, right?
I don't even believe that Margaret Atwood, she's a liberal and she may be a feminist, but I don't even believe that she's not one of these pink pussy hat wearers who are marching on Washington claiming that the patriarchy is destroying everything. I think she's just a regular old liberal girl in Canada. Who, you know, was writing something that interested her.
Let's go to the phones here. We'll get back into, I know you got more to say about it. Let's talk first, though, to Ken, listening in Arkansas, Texarkana. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I was just calling about yesterday. Y'all were talking about why you couldn't figure out why they were sending troops to Samoa. And you didn't mention it, but one of the girls that's in the squad in the House of Representatives is from over there.
Well, why would she want people to invade her home country?
That is another story.
Do you know it? Do you know that story?
No, she's unhappy with the U.S., but I don't have any clue why she'd want to do it.
Well, why is she unhappy with the U.S.? Or why do you think she's unhappy with the U.S.?
She said so.
Well, I'm not particularly happy with the U.S. either.
Well, first of all, I want to clarify something. The squad is a group of representatives, correct? So-called?
Yeah, there are three ladies.
This wasn't done by the House of Representatives, as I understand it. This was an executive order. This was
I understand
Joe
that,
Biden.
But you know how things go up there in Washington, and you know.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
One scratches the other's back.
Well, in this case, it would be nice if the representatives actually declared war and you know that process were to go forward before some troops were sent somewhere. But we know that hasn't happened in 100 years, roughly, in the United States. So, you know, that hasn't happened. This was pretty much all on Joe Biden and his administration. But regardless, I don't think any of us were confused about why it's happening. The military-industrial complex needs to have money funneled into it constantly. And so in order to have that happening, they have to have places to send troops. And so this is their latest front.
Okay.
Anything else you want
latest
to share, Ken?
Latest batch, huh? No, that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Well, the U.S. has been involved in Somalia repeatedly throughout, you know, just my lifetime.
They only left due to Trump, apparently. They were there for the whole time, all the way since, you know, what was it, the 90s when their government got overthrown?
And I mean, with the Russian army doing stuff and it looking like pretty like or at least somewhat likely that the Chinese government is going to invade Taiwan in the near future, the U.S. is like, hey, we need to, you know, train up our military. We need to spar some more. That's what all of these things have always been for the U.S. government, is sparring matches, justification for building the war machine and for perfecting it.
Well, speaking of war now, according to RT, thousands of troops from 14 nations, including the United States, are now taking part in what are described as huge exercises in Estonia. So basically,
how is it that no one in politics is actually trying to de-escalate this situation? Now, Finland and Denmark, I don't remember what two countries.
Rand Paul did try to block this thing.
That's good. One politician.
Didn't he just want like some kind of overseer director to oversee the money? But he wasn't actually going to vote against it.
I don't think
he was actually saying don't do it.
Oh,
he's not like what's his face? McCain's
He's not
buddy.
Like Ron Paul.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's not like his dad.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Too bad that apple didn't fall.
I didn't read any of the details, Conan. I just saw that he was trying to stop the $40 billion or something. But
I think he just said, I think he was wanting to put in place an overseer to monitor that the money actually goes to Ukraine, which, by the way, a lot of it's not. It's going to NGOs.
It's $40 billion. Who cares?
No, it's going to go all over the place, including into the hands of the Nazis, the Azov Battalion.
But it's just amazing to me that with all of this going on, we're completely overrun by insane people at this point. Russia is talking about sending nukes to the border. Two other European countries are talking about joining NATO. 14 mm-hmm. countries are doing drills along Estonia. The Russian government is talking about invading, I don't remember where. It's not Estonia, but it also starts with an E, if I remember correctly. Mm. But it's insane. There doesn't seem to be anyone on the world saying, hey, guys, everyone, can we just chill out for a moment? Can we not start World War III? They are all on every side of this. They're doing everything they can, from what I can tell, to push us directly toward World War III.
Well, you know, we can't build back better unless we break the egg open.
Oh, man.
And maybe World War III is exactly what we need. Inflation's not doing it fast enough.
The handmaids
aren't doing it fast enough for us.
We just need peace and for everyone to chill out and say, oh, you know what? The people of Russia are just like the people of the United States. They're just people who are
all
trying
humans
to exist and be free and live and laugh and love and do all the Karen stuff.
I agree with you, Aria, and that's, you know, unfortunately not a very popular viewpoint. Peace is just...
It's weak. Yeah, people see it as weak. Even both sides of the aisle see it as a weakness.
Mm. There's also no money in peace.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's probably more money in peace than there is in war, but...
Yeah, there's more wealth in total for the peaceful population that's not in war, but...
It's easier to market war.
For the politically connected, there's less money, right?
True.
For the military-industrial complex,
oh,
they're out of
definitely.
Business.
That's where all their old munitions have been going. You think all all these missiles and armaments that have been going over Ukraine are the top of the shelf?
No, the hand-me-downs.
No, they're 20-year-old missiles. So why? So they can build the next level, the 2022 missiles to because you know they
Aren't they still flying the old Russian MiG or something? I could have sworn I saw that.
The Polish are growing. Are
the Ukraine?
I don't know what MiGs they're flying around. I don't know what variants they are, but yes, a lot of those countries are still flying MiGs.
Old stuff. All right, so Conan, we've been talking about the Handmaid's Tale. What else?
If you liked 50 Shades of Grey,
never saw it.
If you like, this is books.
Never read.
I've never seen the shows either.
Yeah.
If you like Twilight.
Never
read. I can't believe I actually read like 100 pages of that.
I read the first book because I thought, there's no way the book could possibly be as bad as the movie. Oh, man, was I wrong.
You saw the movie too?
Yeah. Well, girl I was dating at the time was like, oh, my God, I loved her. She named one of her daughters Bella. So I was like, fine.
My daughter was reading them and I was like, all right, let's see what you're up to. If you like those types of books, you will like Margaret Atwood's A Handmaid's Tale.
Now, Twilight wasn't a rape fantasy, was it?
She's having sex with a super dominant vampire.
Vampire? Okay.
A monster, an evil creature, which she maybe...
he was a bad boy.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Let's get into the study. You mentioned this study about 2/3 of women are into this secretly. There's more coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. Is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here at 603-283-6160, especially if you've seen and or read, or both, preferably, the Handmaid's Tale, and you want to comment on what Conan's been saying as somebody who has read the book recently and then stopped because you didn't want to watch the show or watch or read any more of the books.
Yeah, it wasn't written for me.
Yeah. And you're saying that there's also a study that you're gonna tell us a little bit about.
This is an older study. I've known about it.
Yeah,
I've also, for whatever reason, there always seems to be a lot of liberal commentators who like to bring up this study, and this is not a new idea. This is not a new concept. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders was writing about this in one of his memoirs or his thesis
his
or whatnot
sex fantasy.
when he was on a commune.
Newsletter or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's talking about this, and he believed it in his heart of hearts that mm-hmm. this is the way that it works. I know Cenk Uygur was talking, I think, about this specific study some time ago, and I think he was lambasted by his ilk, mm-hmm. by his followers. So this is not a new idea, but I do believe that there's a certain type of person who's going to mention this concept and talk about it, and maybe even dudes who maybe even fantasize about it on their own.
And what is the concept?
That women think about rape all the time, and some dudes are into that. They want to be on the giving side of that.
I would suggest it's probably a fairly significant portion of dudes.
You think so?
I don't. I think
in a consensual way, yes.
But that's not what rape is.
No, this is why I use CNC when we were referring to it earlier. I think that this. The people who did this survey were like, hey, if someone came up to you and like choked you and, violently raped you, would you be cool with that? That's not what they're talking about at all. I don't believe.
What does it say?
I imagine they're referring to consensual.
Do you have details on this?
And what details do we have? Is it just mild choking, butt slapping, and hair pulling? I mean, that's just aggressive sex to me. That's not really... maybe a little bit of dominance,
well,
but it's not on any level.
Well, there's different levels
CNC
of rape.
CNC has
right?
nothing to do with dominance or submission. It's what I guess in the strictest sense, it does have to do with the person who's not consenting, submitting, but they're supposed to be fighting. So I don't know if it really plays into dominance and submission or not. However, there's a huge difference. I mean, all of that BDSM, the butt slapping, the choking, all that that doesn't have anything to do with consensual non consent.
That's just part of the act.
CNC is just simply, I'm pretending not to consent to this. So mm-hmm. we're going to role play that where I'm resisting or whatever, and you have to do what you can to force me to comply.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's even worse than I thought. if women are into that.
Why is that worse?
Being taken against, I do have consent. I have the safe word, but I still want to fantasize that you are taking me against my will.
Yeah.
Okay. I would never want to be on the receiving end of that.
What is the survey actually?
Depending on the decade, some sexual fantasies have been considered unusual by psychiatrists. Among those listed in the 5th edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, masochism, exhibitionism, transvestitism, and pedophilia. How rare are fantasies considered unusual or otherwise stigmatized? A team from the Department of Psychology at the University of Quebec at Troy Rivera decided to find out. Quote, although several theories and treatment plans are unusual sexual fantasies as use unusual sexual fantasies as a way to identify deviancy, they seldomly describe how the fantasy referred to were determined to be usual. A team led by Christian C. Joyle wrote in What Exactly is an Unusual Sexual Fantasy, forthcoming in the Journal of Sexual Medicine. The main goal of this study was to determine which sexual fantasies are rare, unusual, common, or typical from a statistical point of view.
Okay.
I don't like that you said the word unusual, but... okay.
Well, if it's not common, then it would be unusual.
So we have rare, unusual, common, or
uncommon,
typical.
Right. Unusual makes it sound weird.
What was this? What
rare,
were the categories?
Unusual, common, or typical.
Okay.
To achieve this goal, the team asked more than 1,500 college students to rank 55 sexual fantasies and describe their one favorite. Example, the top ranked fantasy was, I like to feel romantic. Emotions during a sexual relationship.
And this was with men, women and men?
Women and men.
Okay.
And you said they wanted to study how this changed over decades?
This was 55 sexual fantasies all at right okay. now, almost 10 years ago.
2014, okay.
So the first one was, I like to feel romantic emotions during sex.
So that would have been considered typical.
Well, let's find out. Among women surveyed, 92.2% shared this fantasy. Okay. Among men, 88.3%, so I would say typical. On the low end of the spectrum, fewer than 1% of women had fantasized about having sex with a child under 12 years, and among men, it was 1.8% had that fantasy. So that would be considered rare.
Okay.
In between these two extremes were some interesting findings. Among those printable in a family newspaper...
Yeah, I was going to say, keep in mind, we are on the radio.
61.2% of men had fantasized about interracial sex, but only 27.5% of women had, which I find bizarre. Because I see more, 57% of men had fantasized about having sex with someone much younger than them, but only 18% of women had.
This is all about what I would expect.
That seems normal to me.
Yeah. Well, the other one does as well, but I can't explain why, in my opinion, that's likely on radio. I can't figure out a way to word that in a way that won't be.
Think about that one then. Maybe you can find a sweet way to do it. 56 of women surveyed had fantasized about having sex with more than three people, both men and women. But only 16% of men had, which That's is another odd one to me. Because aren't the men always wanting to hook up with another partner, a three-way?
I mean, that's what
they tell me. That's what media tells me.
The media, yeah.
64% of women had fantasized about being dominated sexually. 53% of men had.
Now, that doesn't necessarily say rape.
Nope. I saw an unfriendly for radio list, which actually talks about, which breaks that down. So you have, a dominant type sex, and then you actually have straight up rape being taken against your will.
Okay, but is there a response for that in the survey?
Is there also CNC in the survey?
I don't even know if that was a brown when they did this 10 years ago.
It certainly was. And my issue with this is that the word rape is being thrown around a whole lot here.
Not in this article.
People, okay, but just around this entire discussion, the word rape is being used an awful lot for us to characterize something that isn't even remotely like rape.
I think it's like
20%. It's someone explicitly consenting to an act happening to them, and for some reason we keep calling that rape.
Right, and this is going to talk about consent in a second. The authors of the study seemed particularly interested in finding that supported the popularity of 50 Shades of Grey, which that whole book, that's all it is about sub and dom. Mm-hmm. Among women, it was found that sexual fantasies of being dominated, being spanked or whipped, being tied up, and being forced to have sex were reported by 30-60%, according to the study.
I can see why the range there is so large, because that's a huge variety of different things. Yeah.
The fantasy of being dominated was significantly greater for women than for men, on average, whereas the fantasy of dominating was statistically stronger for men than for women on average, which also makes sense to me.
Yeah.
One caveat. This was a survey of Canadians ages 18 to 65. Presumably, surveys of residents of a retirement community or a devout churchgoers would produce different responses. Another caveat.
I think they would, but I don't think they'd be honest about it. Like you mentioned church.
As long as it's an anonymous survey, I think those are overwhelmingly.
No, because they're lying to themselves about it. Your average 60-something-year-old church lady, she'll say, oh, I like being dominated, but her entire religion is about how women should submit to men. But she won't think about it in terms that start.
Meanwhile, she's reading a Harlequin romance that's in her glove compartment, and she's reading on her smoke breaks.
But you said there were people as old as 65 in this study. They didn't talk to college students.
18 to 65.
It was done at a college, but that doesn't mean that they were only talking to college kids.
Must have been. Another caveat, those who volunteer to participate in sex studies tend to be more sexually experienced. Or, as the author put it, this sample was not representative of the general population.
Yeah, were they told in advance they were volunteering for
a
sex study?
Good question.
There's more coming up here in moments. You can join us. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here at 603-283-6160. In these remaining moments, we may have enough time for you. Tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
And Kern.
Also, I do want to say thank you to Robin Mock, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS Patreon. She's gold level, which means Robin's doing at least $10 a month to help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. You get some cool perks and some benefits from joining that. Just go to amps.freetalklive.com. You can sign up there. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We're going to go back into your calls. We're talking about the Handmaid's Tale. Conan, you picked up this book because there's been a lot of buzz
for years.
Handmaid's Tale.
They're telling me that that's what the climate has become, this and or the conservatives. That's all they want. They want these women to be vessels. They want them to just be childbearing, work at home barefoot in the kitchen making me a sandwich. And some dudes actually like that. And by the way, some women actually like that. But the whole idea that that is what is wrong, because they're saying that's what these right wingers want. They want us to be vessels. And I read the book and I'm like, good God, that's all this woman is talking about.
She's saying it's her fantasy.
I'm thinking that it's the original author's fantasy. Now, is it the show's portrayal? I don't think so. I think there might be something in that show that just has totally flipped this idea on its head and turned it into a nightmare dystopia that it might actually be. But it's not the book.
And you've found a study from 2014 suggesting that possibly 2 out of 3 women are interested in being dominated.
Dominated.
As far as their sexual preferences go. Of course, that's not the same thing as being raped, which is a completely different sexual fantasy. But let's go to Jennifer in Oregon. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to give a shout out to Conan for his critique of The Handmaid's Tale. I read the book, gosh, years ago. I'm an avid reader. I never saw the show or anything, but I remember I didn't like the book. It was unsettling to me. I just didn't like it. And his critique is spot on. That's why, because it's a poorly written fantasy, and it doesn't have a lot to actually say about feminism or any of the issues it's talking about.
What are your thoughts on the study that Conan found about women having either secret interest in dominance or maybe not so secret?
I think it's actually expected and biologically normal. You know, like that there is a natural drive that you want the strong male. You want to have, you know, just coming from an instinctual place. You know, you want to have your children make a family with a strong male.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've often said, I don't want to date a trained dog, you know? And so I do think there's a big difference between the word dominance and rape.
Definitely.
You know, I don't think very many women want a stranger to come rape them, but you want to be with a man that like knows what he wants and says, oh, baby, you know? And I found that common amongst girlfriends.
All right. I think that clears that up. Anything else you want to share with us, Jennifer?
I had 2 recommendations for Conan since he sells books. For a good feminist fiction, science fiction, I don't remember the author, but the title of the book is The World for Word. The Word for World is Water.
And this is a feminist science fiction book?
Yeah, yeah. If you want a good, you know, in the positive idea of feminism, not the strange take it's gone in the modern world.
Okay,
you know,
but, okay. Gotcha.
But that one is a good read. And then I don't remember either the title or the author, but there is a recent author who redid the whole Handmaid's Tale thing, and it involves chili peppers. And if you're just into the fantasy, that one's way
Conan
better.
Conan loves chili peppers.
I don't.
Thanks for the call, Jennifer. I appreciate it.
How does that even work?
She makes a really good point, though, about that. I think a lot of people forget that. The human beings are animals, just like, I mean, they're alpha males, beta males. Mm. That's the thing in humans, too.
Yeah.
It's not as
oh, yeah.
It's not as obvious in humans. And we
sometimes
know,
it's pretty obvious. Beta males versus alpha males?
Not as obvious as people like to think, I would suggest.
During the break, I was complaining about my new rooster, the son of my main rooster. He crows in the morning, and the rooster collar that I had on him wasn't working to spec, so I had to go out do adjustments the other morning, and I just had to keep waking up and wait for him to crow again, and it's just a pain in the butt. But that's not what I'm getting to. If you've ever watched Chickens Have Sex, it is gnarly. I mean, it is gnarly. These are rough characters.
Mm. So are cats.
And cats, wow. And they're meowing, and they're exactly.
Cats are violent about it.
Wow. We're just talking about two specific animals.
But when you take the
entire animal kingdom, most of these guys are gnarly, especially birds.
Well, look at bed bugs. They stab their mating partners.
Wow.
And then you have praying mantises, which will actually eat the head off of their and consume their mate afterwards. And so a lot of spiders do the same thing.
But humans do have intelligence, so we value different things than the rest of the animal kingdom.
But when you break us down to our reptilian mode.
But that aside, no one would look at Mark Zuckerberg and go, man, that is an alpha male. But the overwhelming majority of women in the United States, if they had the opportunity to bear Mark Zuckerberg's children, they would.
Well, no, they would not.
He provides financial security.
There's that.
Right. And that's not something that you find in the animal kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't gauge alpha males and beta males by the same standards that, you know, our ancestors did.
But if he didn't have that money, they wouldn't be lining up around the block for him.
No, but he has that money because he was brilliant at one time, and he came up with a great, clever idea that made him, you know, the top of the world.
But what makes a
alpha? How do you get more alpha than top of the world?
In the animal food and the animal chain, what makes an alpha? An adult male who is capable of seeing his children to the next level.
Mm-hmm. The alpha male is the one that's getting laid.
Because and the females are not, the female lion is not going to sleep with the lion unless she knows that he is going to probably not eat her children, because that happens too. But no, see her children to reproductive level. I mean, so let's put that in the human standards. The rich man driving that sporty car and living in the big mansion is going to be just as attractive as the Fabio with all the muscles sitting on your cover of your romance novel. I mean, they're both, you know, at that level that are attractive to women. And if anything, the rich Zuckerberg type is probably going to be a more capable father getting your children to reproductive level than the Fabio guy who's living in a trailer probably.
That's exactly my point. You know, mm-hmm. who is and isn't an alpha male for humans is not at all obvious.
Unless you do your research.
Sure.
So don't just go with the guy, which is the first guy you see with some muscles on, you know.
Yeah.
Most people don't put that level of research.
There's this thing called Google. You could look everyone up these days.
Let's go to Jack. He's in Washington State. Jack, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking about when I was younger, when I was first experimenting, and I really didn't think about these type of things, and I'd be in the middle of coitus, and they'd say, you know, my partner would say, choke me. I'm like, oh, you know, what's that about? You know, it just, I just think there is a certain type of person that just wants to be dominated like that and feel that way. And then I kind of felt, you know, and then I tried it. I remember I tried it with somebody else later and, they're like, oh, I don't like that. You know, I don't know where I'm really going with this, but,
Apparently, you're telling us about your sexual exploits on national radio.
It's not for everybody.
But you guys haven't been through that where you're in the middle of it? And I've
never
like,
had anybody ask me to choke them, but I bet Aria has.
Dude, my name on Grindr is Sub Slut, dude. I mean,
thanks for the call, Jack.
I have a good time, man. I'm a hedonist, right? I'm pretty sure I've always been pretty upfront about that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of, you know, the whole individualist, the very thing that this guy who shot up, you know, that murdered 10 people in Brooklyn, the very thing that he spoke out against, that's like me. Like, he uses the exact words I would use to describe myself. Individualist, hedonist, anarchist, nonsense. I don't remember exactly how he put it.
These are things he's against.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Satanism. Mm.
All right, Conan. We're going to get here, last caller here in the remaining moments. You're on screen. Go ahead.
Hey, hi, my name is Missy, and I'm actually an author myself, and I'm just kind of catching you guys, and I love it. I love the conversation, but there's an alpha male in the parking lot where I'm parked, revving his engine. What do you think that
He's probably trying to gain your attention. This is what birds do. They fluff their feathers.
There you go.
Right.
Hey, I wish we had more time for you. Unfortunately, you called at the very end of the show, so if there's something something you want to say, please call us tomorrow night. We would love to hear from you at that time. We start the show at 7 o'clock at night Eastern, and we have no problem continuing a topic. So if you want to...
Free Talk Live, that's the name of the show.
Yeah, if you want to call in, share whatever it is you were going to share, we'd love to hear from you. Tomorrow night, join us then.
Talk to that guy revving his engine. He's into you.
Meantime... You can join us online between now and then over at freetalklive.com.